The last patient of the morning leaves a couple of minutes after noon, and the office empties out. I lock up my prescription pad in the top drawer of my desk. I don't really think it's necessary, but I guess it's a good habit to get into. We were lectured about it often enough at Children's Hospital. Mom takes Lizzie up to my apartment for lunch, and then to visit with Steffi and Ben. One of our neighbors, Mrs. Bramley, runs a small daycare out of her apartment. You can't beat the location, and the twins both seem to like her. The rest of the staff heads to lunch as well. They're all going across the street to the food court at the Pentagon City shopping mall. Lori and I are left alone to take stock of our first morning as private physicians. Lori's just about to lock the door so we can be assured of peace and quiet when it opens. A pair of police officers, a man and a woman, stand in the doorway in full uniform. They step inside, and I look over to Lori, who shrugs. She has no more idea than I do what they're doing here. Both officers are very serious as they look, Lori and I, up and down.
"How can we help you?" Lori asks, trying to lighten the mood.
The man replies in a flat, emotionless voice,
"Sarah Alderson?"
The temperature in the room seems to drop 20 degrees. I answer automatically, "That's me." The other officer, the woman, steps closer to me. She isn't any bigger than I am, but she's got a uniform and a gun.
"Please put your hands up against the wall, ma'am."
What? What's going on? Hands against... They only tell you to do that when... I hear Lori's voice. It seems very far away.
"What's going on, officers?" "Hands against the wall," the woman repeats,
and I slowly, carefully do as I'm told. The man says in that same flat voice,
"Sarah Alderson, we have a warrant for your arrest for the charge of prescription drug fraud."
As he speaks, I feel his partner's hands on me, patting my chest, feeling inside my coat and down to my pants, and then briefly, I have to force myself not to react, on the inside of my thighs before going all the way down to my ankles. The words just now register with me. Prescription fraud? I haven't even written a prescription yet. This has to be some kind of mistake. Or maybe it's a practical joke gone horribly wrong. Except nobody's smiling or laughing.
"You have the right to remain silent," the man goes on, robotically reading the speech I've heard a thousand times in movies and on TV.
His partner stands right behind me. As he runs through it, my left arm is pulled behind me and...
"No, no, this isn't right. She's handcuffing me."
Cold metal bites into my wrist, and she's holding my left arm with an iron grip as she pulls my right arm behind me. I've never been handcuffed. Not as a kid playing cops and robbers. Not even those stupid furry handcuffs Beth had in college. The cuffs are very tight. They're pinching into my wrists, and I can't move my hands at all. There's no chain between the cuffs. They must be directly connected to each other on a hinge or something. The male officer's voice trails off. I didn't hear most of what he said, and now his partner is pulling me along, her iron grip leading me away from my office, away from Lori, towards... No, I haven't done anything wrong. This can't be happening. I open my mouth, but as I'm being dragged out the door, I register Lori's voice.
"Sarah, don't say anything. I'll get Brian and your parents, and we'll get a lawyer. Don't say a word. You'll just make this worse."
Worse? How can it be worse?
I'm chained up like a criminal, being taken to... I'm going to jail. I didn't do anything. I've never done anything. I'm not a criminal. But the police think I am. No, they said they had a warrant. It's not these officers. They didn't decide to arrest me on their own. They didn't catch me doing something wrong. Someone else decided to arrest me, ordered them to arrest me. Who could possibly think I've committed prescription fraud? I've been practicing for 4 hours. We're almost through the lobby, and I vaguely notice a couple waiting for the elevator, staring at me as I'm dragged outside. I know I've seen them before. They're staring hard, committing the sight to memory. At least, thank God Lizzie wasn't in the office to see this. But it shouldn't be happening at all. This is a mistake. Why would anyone think I've committed a crime? They don't issue a warrant without a reason, without evidence. They have to have some kind of proof. But how can there be proof when I haven't done anything? I keep Lori's words in mind. Don't say anything. These officers aren't going to listen anyway. There's nothing I can say to make them let me go, to convince them this is wrong. But these handcuffs are so tight, I can't help myself. Officer, please. These cuffs, they're hurting me. My arm is gripped harder, and I feel a finger between my left wrist and the cold, hard metal. I don't look up to see, but I know she's shaking her head. There's nothing I can do, ma'am. It's procedure, she says. I'm sorry. But she says it without any real feeling, like she's reading from a script she's read 1,000 times before. I feel sick. I don't even know. All I do know, all I can think of, is to listen to what Lori said. Say nothing. We're outside now. Their police cruiser is parked right out front. I'm dragged out to it, and the female officer shoves me inside, pushing my head down. Then her partner leans across me, buckling me in tightly. The shoulder strap of the seatbelt is scratching my neck. My wrists are burning, and my shoulders are starting to ache. I'm going to jail. It's not a long ride, I think. I'm in pain. I feel nauseous. I have no idea what's going on. I don't pay attention to the route, but in the back of my mind, I know where they're taking me. I know where the jail is. It's right across the street from a movie theater, smack in the middle of the courthouse neighborhood of Arlington. It's a tall building, maybe 10 or 15 floors, right next to the county courthouse building itself. The cruiser parks in the back. The door opens. The female officer, Sergeant Matthews, her partner calls her, reaches in and unbuckles me. She pulls me out of the car, sets me on my feet, and starts dragging me towards the jail. I stumble and nearly lose my balance. She squeezes my arm so hard that I cry out. "Don't screw around, ma'am," she orders me. I concentrate on keeping my balance. I wonder if she'd bother to catch me if I really did fall. Then we're inside into a tunnel that opens up into a large, brightly lit room. A woman in uniform, a different uniform, brown instead of blue, I'm not sure what that signifies, comes up to me. The male officer hands her a folder, which she puts down on a bench. Then I feel hands on my wrists. I hear the click of a key, and my handcuffs are removed. Keep your hands behind your back, the brown uniform woman orders. She reaches behind me and recuffs me immediately. These cuffs aren't the same. There's a chain between them. At least I have a couple of inches to move my hands. She pulls me over to the bench. Sit, she orders, and I do. She kneels down. I can't see what she's doing, but I feel it a moment later. A cuff closes tightly around my right ankle. I'm chained to the bench.
Wait here, she says, as though I have any choice in the matter.